One more time, give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. I said the Lord a hand clap. Put a lot into it right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Bardo. Praise the Lord, everybody. Certainly good to be at family, youth and family camp again tonight. Appreciate what the Lord is already doing. The great messages we heard this morning, Brother Green preaching about the plumb line. What a powerful message that was. And followed by my friend Brother Pixler introducing what he's going to be talking to us about throughout this week, I think. And what a great job he did. I'm looking forward to the next several days already, what we're going to hear in these morning services. Praise God. And I appreciate again so much the invitation to be here, be a part of this inaugural youth and family camp here in Ventura. And it's already been great. Appreciate what we see, this beautiful assembly of young folks and church members that are here, and what we hear and what we feel. And this choir did also such a beautiful job. No sound like the sound of youthful voices lifted up in praise unto God. Not singing the latest pop song, but in praise unto God. I believe the devil hates that sound. He'd like to take it away from us, but we're not going to let him have it. I said, we're not going to let him have it. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And I know that you've probably played hard today. And already you seem just a little deflated tonight. I don't know. Might just be my imagination. But the realities of late night and early morning and all day at it is beginning to settle in already tonight. But I feel a message on my heart. I'm actually going to take advantage of this kind of laid-back feeling that seems to be at least among some tonight. And I'm going to preach what I feel very passionate about in this service. Might be a little different than what we might usually hear in an evening youth camp service. And it may be different than what we do the rest of this week. And I believe we're still going to shout and worship God. And folks are going to get the Holy Ghost yet this week. Praise the Lord. But we do want to hear from God, don't we? How many of you really want to hear from God? Already some have spoken about defining moments at youth camps such as this one. And we want to take advantage of this opportunity and atmosphere to dig our heels in and push upward in a very, very significant way. Praise the Lord. We can get a hold of something here that will last us not just the rest of this year, but the rest of our lifetime. I really, really do believe that. Felt a lot of skepticism when I said that, but I really do believe something can happen this week and even in this service tonight that will last a lifetime. Praise God. Amen. I want you to turn with me this evening in the book of Daniel chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I want to express my appreciation to the sponsors, the steering committee of this youth camp, the warm and gracious hospitality, kindness shown to me and my family already, the delightful snack basket that it was in our room. Brother Pixler wasn't entirely honest with us this morning. I think I should go ahead and reveal that fact when he boasted that he had not had breakfast. And then he talked about that snack basket looking like a storm had taken place in it. I said, yeah, he's had breakfast. Who's he kidding? Hallelujah. So now the secret is out. And if he says that again and he still preaches with as much vim, vigor, and vitality as he did today, strutting around here, you know he's taking nourishment. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Read a familiar passage in Daniel chapter 1, beginning with verse number 1. The Bible says, in the year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, I want to talk to you for a little while this evening. And again, this might be different than you've ever heard, but I want to talk to you about ability to stand before the king. Ability to stand before the king. We serve a great king. We serve a great king. Much greater than Nebuchadnezzar. I'm going to talk to you about ability to stand before the king. Let's pray one more time and ask God to help us. Jesus, would you move in this place, speak to our hearts and our minds. Help me to once more deliver the message that you have placed on my heart for this service. Let it have an impact on lives and minds here tonight. Hallelujah! Let it make a difference in somebody's life. We'll praise and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. All right, you may begin to rumble as you sit. That's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. The battle had been long and bloody. The destruction had been horrific. The carnage, unbelievable. The casualties numbered in the hundreds of thousands. Most of the men had been killed. Many of the women had either been abused or taken hostage. Perhaps millions of children had been left orphaned. The great and majestic city of Jerusalem now lay in rubble. And most devastating of all, their beloved temple had been leveled to the ground. Now then, those that remained were a beaten, defeated lot. They were either wounded or they were thoroughly demoralized. Their will had been crushed. Their homes were gone. Their families were decimated. Their lives were forever changed. Soon there would be a long, solemn column of prisoners of war that would begin to wind its way from Palestine to Babylon. The survivors who were being taken to serve as slaves now wound its way with heavy hearts toward an uncertain future. Most of them would be used as beasts of burden to help build the great cities of the Babylonian Empire or to work in their fields. Their thoughts you can only speculate about as they mourned what they had lost and wondered what their futures would hold. But not all of these walked with shuffling steps, and not all of them had slumped shoulders. There were some in this group that were being relocated to Babylon who had a peculiar gleam in their eye, who walked with confident steps of those who knew who they were and what God they served. And while they did not know what would befall them, they knew that their lives were in the hands of Jehovah God, and that there was none like Him. Little did they know that some of them would soon become a part of an elite group of young men who would be specially selected and chosen to stand before the king. But what I want to impress upon this congregation tonight is this fact, that this was not a random act, and it wasn't chance and accident that happened to them. In fact, they had been preparing for this time for a long time. Praise the Lord. While some of them we will later come to know in Scripture, and they would distinguish themselves, and much attention would be placed on later events, such as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going into the fiery furnace and coming out again without being burned or singed. And the Bible says, not even the smell of smoke on their garments. And another by the name of Daniel would spend the night in a lion's den. Hallelujah. And he would survive it without even a scratch. But long before these dramatic events, these young men had already distinguished themselves because they stood out from the crowd. The emissary of the king had been given specific instructions that he should seek out certain of the children of Israel. Praise the Lord. Then not all of them would be highborn, although some would be of the king's seed and of the princes. But the qualifications would be very high and very tough. The orders were that they should be children in whom was no blemish and who were well favored. And so this man had to walk through this company of prisoners of war and find those that had a special bearing about them. And although they were strangers, they were sought out. These were young men who already before this day had a good reputation. They were not rebels or ruffians. They were obviously had not been spending all their time goofing off or horsing around, playing games, running the roads or hanging out. But they had already, before this day, attained a high level of achievement. Praise God. so that these young men would have stood out in any crowd and they would have been admired anywhere. I want to tell you something tonight. Everybody wants to be used of God, right? I'd like to think that everybody wants to be used of God. And everybody wants to be recognized in a special way. But what a lot of people and a lot of young folks do not stop to consider is that there must be a considerable amount of preparation involved beforehand if you want God to use you. God's not going to just reach down while you're in the middle of a rebellious streak and use you for His glory. He's going to use young men and young ladies who have been preparing themselves for a long time to be used of God. Let me see the hands of those that want to be used of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, while we might think that the ability to stand before the King is all spiritual, and it has all to do with church-related things, I'm here to tell you that it goes far beyond that. In fact, I'm going to tell you that it begins with some things that your parents have probably been telling you a long time. It begins, I believe, with personal grooming. Things like sit up straight. Don't slouch when you stand. Amen. Don't chew with your mouth open. And don't talk with your mouth full. Amen. You're not going to like me very much tonight. I'm going to tell you that right now. I don't know what it's like in your home, but in my house, we were not allowed to come to the table unless we were fully dressed and our hair was combed and we had washed and brushed our teeth, and then we could present ourselves at the table. And you say, what difference does it make? You need to learn early how to take good care of yourself, because you are going to become a visible representation of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I remember many years ago when I was just a young boy at one of the year-end family events, some places known as Christmas, but anyway, it was a year-end family event when we would exchange gifts, and I hope I don't fall out with anybody here, but we did it, okay? And so what can I tell you? But we didn't have fancy gifts. I grew up in a missionary home. My father had been raised in the country of Chile, and he was raised in abject poverty. And he had to drop out of school at a young age and sell pastries on the street to help support his family. And so he had a very humble beginning. And this particular event, when we eagerly opened our gifts, we found to our dismay that us boys, there were three boys and two girls at that time, and as we opened our gifts, we found combs and shoe polish and things to do with personal grooming. And the girls found brushes and mirrors and things of that nature. And we tried to act excited, but we looked at that and we wondered about it. And my dad said, let me tell you something. We might be poor, but we're going to be clean. And there were no excuses allowed for looking sloppy. Amen. And unprepared. When we stepped out of the house, we had to make some effort to prepare ourselves for that. I believe that we need to pay some attention to our personal appearance, to our hygiene, to our diets. How many of you appreciate your friend that's sitting next to you right now that remembered to bring deodorant to camp? I've been in churches where the pastors had to stop and take time to teach people how to use deodorant, how to bathe, how to brush their teeth. Some of you came out of the world and you never learned that. You never heard anything like that. But you're in the church of the living God now. It's going to get rough before it gets better, I promise you. Praise the Lord. But there is such a lack of proper etiquette in the world that we're living in. There is no difference placed between the sexes. Women, girls act like boys, and some boys act like girls. I believe that in God's kingdom, a boy should look and act like a boy, and a girl should look and act like a girl. There is no shame in masculinity and femininity. I get so tired of seeing young folks in the world. They go into restaurants. The girls sit cross-legged. Amen. In the booths in the restaurants. There is no femininity or decorum. But I believe in the house of God. Amen. Men need to look and act like men. And women, amen, need to understand that they are a special part of the kingdom of God. I read some time ago about an article entitled The Dressing Down of America. And the author was remembering when men went about their business in suits and ties, and they wore hats, and all the women wore dresses, and they looked like women. By the way, the international symbol for women on the restrooms all over the world is a figure with a dress on. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so anyway, nowadays, shorts and t-shirts and flip-flops are proper attire for any occasion. We went to a ship commissioning on the island of Galveston a little over a week ago, and the invitation said, business attire required. We expected to see everybody in suits and ties. Not so. Amen. There were many there that were casually dressed. I have to wonder, what do people dress up for anymore? You go and travel even overseas, and people show up at the airport. They haven't shaved. It looks like they came to the airport in the clothes they slept in that night. Amen. Just some shorts and some t-shirts, and they're all wrinkled and they're shuffling along in flip-flops. That might be the lifestyle some of you came from, but we're in a different place now. And I think there's nothing more embarrassing than Pentecostals looking sloppy out at the mall and in the public place. Every time we step out the door, we are representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. We were taught things like courtesy and respect. We were taught to say, yes, sir. And no, sir. Not, you're not my daddy. You can't tell me what to do. You're not my mama. I don't have to listen to you. Amen. I might have said that once, but then it would become a memorable experience. My folks always taught us, if you disrespect any other elder, and they come and tell us about it, amen, you are going to be in for it. Amen. And I think we need to learn the same thing. If you want respect, you need to learn how to show respect. I've heard some young folks talk to their parents, amen, like they were their servants. You need to learn to honor and respect your mama and your daddy. Well, if I could at least get some amens from the mamas and the daddies, it would help a little bit up here. Praise God. See, I want you to show me some respect, then learn how to show it, honey. Amen. And I believe we ought to have proper decorum when we go out in public. In our area, our area is rife with Pentecost. As I mentioned last night, we have over 30-some so-called Pentecostal churches. And the people in the restaurants fight with one another to keep from having to wait on Pentecostal people. Praise the Lord. Because they treat them so shabbily. They run them around. They give them a hard time. And then they don't leave them hardly anything as a tip. I don't care if you're dressed every inch the apostolic. If you manifest a rotten attitude and disposition, you're not leaving a beautiful fragrance where you go. And we don't have a large church, but I've taught our people, when you go to the restaurant, you treat those waiters and waitresses right. I don't care if they don't treat you right. You don't know how many bad customers they've already had before you got there. So you have an opportunity to literally turn the tables on them and treat them well so that they will remember you and want to wait on you. Don't leave a nasty mess behind. It's not cute and it's not funny to pour the ketchup out all over the table. Amen. And leave trash everywhere when you walk out of there. Well, it's quiet. Nobody's running the aisles. But this is sound doctrine. And I tell them, amen, if you can't leave at least 15% tip, don't go out to eat. So they didn't deserve it. Amen. I don't care if they don't deserve it or not. The fact of the matter is, we are representing someone higher than us. Now then, when our group walks into the restaurant, the waiters and waitresses fight with one another for the privilege of waiting on us. We have developed a good reputation, and that's the way it ought to be. It embarrasses me to be in the company of Pentecostal people and have them, amen, talk in a very derogatory way to the restaurant staff. And that ought to be true of every public place. What's this got to do with the Holy Ghost? It has a lot to do with the Holy Ghost, honey. Praise God. It begins, therefore, with your personal appearance. And it extends beyond that. And I believe it also applies to educational achievement. You mean we came to youth camp during summer vacation to hear somebody talk to us about school? Yep, got that right. I'm here to talk to you about school. Amen. You're going to spend around 18 or more years in school. Why waste them? You ought to make the most out of them. I know very few people like school. Very few kids like to get up early in the morning and go to school and study and do their homework. When they get home and prepare for tests, etc., etc. But if you got to do it, you might as well make it count. I already told you my dad dropped out of school because he had to help support his family. My grandfather, who was also a preacher, lost one of his arms in an industrial accident as a young man. And so nobody would hire him. And my dad, being the oldest surviving child in his family, my grandmother had 12 children, and 6 of them died at various ages. And 6 of them survived, and my dad was the oldest of the survivors, and he had to help support his family. And so education was important to him. And so at one time, it got to where a public school, we were missionaries in Brazil, public school had reached its limit for us at that time, at the 5th grade level. On that, you had to pay for it. It's different now, but that's the way it was then. And we had no consistent monthly support as missionaries at that time. And so it was either quit school or come to the States and go to school. And so, just to make a long story short, my parents brought my older brother and myself to the States. And we were left with 2 different families so that we could go to school. I was 12 years old. I lived with Brother Howard Davis in San Bernardino here in California for 3 years from the ages of 12 through 15 so that I could go to school. I watched my family drive away, and it was a very, very difficult experience for me. I was lonely. I had learned how to speak some English because my mother was American, but I did not know how to read or write English. And so I had to learn it from scratch at the 6th grade level. Praise the Lord. And I was afraid, and I was lonely, and I looked funny and talked different and all of that. Hallelujah. But I made up my mind. If I got to go through this pain, I might as well make it count. I could either sit here and sulk and pout and feel sorry for myself, or I can make good use of this opportunity. And just to make a long story short, and I'm not here to pat myself on the back, but I managed to get through those 3 years. And then when our family reconvened, we lived in Baton Rouge for a while, and I finished high school there. And I was able, because I acquired enough credits, to graduate from the 11th grade. And I graduated 4th in a class of 445 students. Amen. Because I had applied myself. And, you know, I always got tired of hearing other kids say, well, that's because you're smart. You're just smart. No, it's called study. That's a novel word for some, I know. But it's called study. You don't get it by osmosis. You can't put the textbook under your pillow and wake up in the morning knowing the material. Why don't you try studying? It works wonders. Praise the Lord. I told my boys, and 2 of them are here tonight, and sometimes I'd like to wring their necks too over what I'm talking about right here. But I told them, I said, you know what? If you're C-level students and that's the best you can do, I'll accept that. But if that's not the best you can do, I expect you to do your very best. And if you can be an A student, you ought to be an A student. There's no shame in getting good grades. And there's no honor in being the class clown and the school cut up. You want to be used of God? Start now while you're in school. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I don't know how many times, you know, they'd be there just moping and whining because they got to do some homework. And I don't know. I can't find the answers. And I just don't. And I'd go over there and I'd say, look, if I find the answer in this book right here, you are in trouble. I didn't even attend your class, but if I find the answer in this book, you have had it. And you know what? Most of the time, all you had to do is flip over to the glossary or the index in the back of the book, look up a keyword, find the page number, and voila, there it was. And they get this look on their face like, oh, I didn't see it. No, because you didn't look. You want to be lazy, amen, and drag your way through school and somehow emerge with honors. It doesn't work that way. And I'm telling you, you need to learn to discipline yourself when you're young so that God can use you when you grow up. Is this all right? If it's not, I'll go home tomorrow. We'll get somebody else to preach here. But this is what I feel in my heart tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And so, listen to this. These Hebrew children, before the fiery furnace, before the lion's den, before they were ever selected by the king, the qualifications were this. They had to be skillful in all wisdom. They had to be cunning in knowledge. And they had to have understanding in science. It's like, what does this geometry have to do with anything? And what does this history have to do with? Who cares who fought in this battle and what year it was? And I just don't understand what's this got to do with hot rods and girls. And I'm never going to use this stuff in all my life. Have you ever heard that? But before they ever reached this day, they had been studying some science. They had been applying themselves in various subjects so that when the time came to be selected, they were in position. Besides that, they had to have ability to stand in the king's palace. In other words, they had to have poise and posture and dignity and a royal bearing about them. And this would become the difference between them either becoming princes or living the rest of their lives as paupers, as many of their friends were. And the difference between living in the king's palace or in the servants' quarters, it put them in position to be used of God, and it set them up for great victories and accomplishments in the future. But it started when they were nobody and they were young men, amen, just studying their lessons. Anybody ever hear of Moses? Moses of burning bush fame. Moses that God used to lead the children of Israel out. Let me tell you what the Bible says about Moses. When he was still living in Egypt, the Bible says that he was learned in all the ways of the Egyptians. And he was a man mighty in words and deeds. He hadn't been standing around twiddling his thumbs. He had been applying himself and taking advantage of the opportunities. You are living in the greatest country on the face of the earth. A land rife with privilege and opportunity. You need to learn how to make the most out of it. Is this all right, brethren? I believe that it extends beyond school. Because someday you're going to graduate, and some of you already have. And you're going to enter into the workplace. And I believe that God's people ought to have a higher work ethic than anybody else. You ought to hold yourself to a higher standard. Not see how much you can cut up and goof off when the boss isn't looking. You need to do what even is not asked of you. You need your performance ought to exceed the requirements. Praise God. Employers are looking for people of character and integrity who are honest and dedicated, who won't cheat even on the time clock. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Employees who know how to be punctual, on time, and put in a good day's work for a day's pay, and won't try to get by with the least possible. Employees who will go the extra mile, who will try to help, who will volunteer for extra duties when possible. But not on church nights, if possible. If you were an employer, that's the kind of employee you would look for. I don't know how many employers that I have talked to, and they have said, we can't find good help these days. It seems like nobody wants to work. Nobody wants to apply themselves. What a golden opportunity for a Holy Ghost-filled young person to step up and say, I will become the best employee you have ever had. So that if you ever leave there or go to a better situation, amen, you will leave with a glowing report saying, I tell you what, that's the finest young man, the finest young lady that I've ever had working for me. Amen, I wish I had 100 just like them. It's more than just juking and jiving, ladies and gentlemen. You gotta live this out there. Where the rubber meets the road. You gotta learn how to treat people right. Daniel found himself right here in this first chapter in a very delicate situation in which they were faced with the necessity of eating the king's meat and drinking his wine, which went against their teaching and their convictions. And so, you know, it was a critical moment. Do I take a stand? Do I stick with my conviction? After all, my pastor's not here. My family's not here. And we're a long ways from Jerusalem. And probably before they said, when in Rome do as the Romans do, they might have said, when in Babylon do as the Babylonians do. And who's going to know any better? And man, those steaks sure do smell good. Just like I can smell some of that wafting in here from that snack bar out there. And it's driving some of you crazy. Amen. After being deprived for such a long time, and here they had a chance to eat the finest delicacies. What a terrible time for your conscience to bother you. But you know what? The Bible said Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not eat this meat and drink this wine. And so he went to the keeper of the eunuchs and he said, bless God, I'm not eating that junk. And you can't make me. And if you don't like it, you're going to split hell wide open. Is that what he did? Is that what he did? Sometimes we think sticking to our guns and our convictions means being nasty and hateful. You know why you may end up with a very obnoxious supervisor and boss? To test your spirit. There is no good time to hang your Holy Ghost up on a nail and give anybody a piece of your mind. Because I got news for some of you. You don't got enough mind to be giving anybody a piece of. Better hold on to all you got. I'm not trying to be hateful tonight myself. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's never right to have a wrong attitude and a wrong spirit. And you can be a child of God and stick to your convictions and be a gentleman and be a lady and do it with the right attitude. And very diplomatically, amen, Daniel negotiated his situation to where they did not have to eat it. Praise God. And we need to learn how to do the same thing. Remember this, my friends, we are ambassadors of Christ. Everywhere we go, everything we do, amen, we have a responsibility to leave a godly fragrance. Amen. And by the way, I believe that when you get ready to step into the workforce, there's nothing wrong. In fact, I highly recommend seeking God for direction for your employment. It goes farther than just searching the want ads for the highest paying job. But since we are representing the King, we ought to get down on our knees and say, God, where do you want me? Because he may want you for a while in kind of a menial job. Amen. Not getting paid very much, because there might be somebody there that God wants to use you to save. We ought to learn how to say, God, I'm dedicating myself to you. I want to be used of you to win a soul. And if it means doing something I don't enjoy doing very much, put me where you want me and let me let my light shine. Lift your hands and love the Lord, would you? Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Feel the Holy Ghost moving in here tonight. I believe that God is speaking to hearts right now. You know what? I know this isn't everything, and this doesn't have a lot to do sometimes with heaven, but I believe the kingdom of God more than ever needs some architects and some engineers and some government workers and some finance experts and some people in high places who have their heart right with God, who know how to do what they do, amen, for the glory of God, to help the church move forward. There's no premium on ignorance. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then, I believe, of course, it extends into the spiritual. Not just the personal, and not just the educational, but the spiritual. The Bible here said they would be children in whom was no blemish. I know we touched on it some last night, but I want to again for just a little bit right here. Amen. We need to get it settled in our minds, our identity and who we are. I don't know what you think about yourself, but I am a child of God, and I am proud of it. I settled that a long time ago. So I'm not worried about what the world thinks. I'm not trying to please them. I'm not trying to look like them. Not trying to act like them. Not trying to be like them. Ephesians chapter 4, that we should walk not as other Gentiles walk. There's a way that Gentiles walk, but we don't walk that way. The Bible said having their understanding darkened and following after the blindness of their heart, being past feeling, lascivious, unclean, working uncleanness with greediness. We don't walk their walk, and we don't talk their talk. Hold your head up high wherever you go and don't be ashamed of who you are. And I believe it also means that you got to keep your heart right. And you got to keep your spirit clean. And you need to understand that we're walking around in a very hostile environment. And everything in this world around us has a hook in it. And it has a snare in it. And because you're young, curiosity is at an all-time high. You want to know, you want to explore, you want to experiment. But your curiosity can lead you into things that will permanently damage your potential to where you will never be able to be what God had envisioned for you. Don't get this notion in your head, I'm going to backslide just long enough to see what beer and whiskey taste like. Amen. And what a cigarette is like and what a weed is like. Then I'm going to get back in church. It's got a hook in it. It'll get in your heart. And after a while, you can't get free from it. There's backsliders that have left our church, I'm sad to say. And brother, they are so bound. They come back. They pray through just about every revival. Or at least, amen, they pray. And they cry. And they jabber. And they stammer. And they do all of that. And you think maybe they'll make it. But their addictions are so powerful. It keeps dragging them back. And maybe it is to our shame that we don't have whatever. Amen. That they can just be delivered from it. But I believe you got to want to be delivered from it. And you can get into that world to where you can't get loose from it. Right now, you have incredible potential. I believe there are young men right here that are going to build great apostolic churches someday. I believe there's some young ladies here that are going to be some tremendous soul winners and prayer warriors. Amen. To the glory of God someday. Don't let the devil drag your potential, your honor, your glory into the gutter. Dopers and smokers and boozers, they're a dime a dozen. But young men and young ladies, amen, that stay true to God, they're rare and they're special. Amen. Young lady backsliding just to see what she looks like with a haircut, some makeup on. Praise the Lord. Some jewelry. Want to look like that picture you saw in Cosmopolitan magazine. You don't realize that you're more beautiful right now. There is a beauty that Merle Norman, Mar Norman, and Mary Kay can't duplicate. There's a glow that no cosmetic can put on your face. It is the radiance of a young lady full of the Holy Ghost, on fire for God. She stands out everywhere she goes. Don't get involved in the things of this world. It's a filthy world. It's an immoral world. It's a world full of pornography and immorality. I'm telling you, if it gets a hook in your heart, it's hard to free yourself of it. It's an addiction just like anything else. And what you fantasize about, you will eventually act out. Stay away from illicit sex and fornication. Everybody's doing it. No, everybody isn't doing it. There's some right here that are making a pledge to God. My body belongs to Him. I live for His glory. I would be ashamed tonight to tell you some of the things that I have seen go on in meetings just like this one. I don't mean exactly like this one, but in so-called Pentecostal meetings around the country. Amen. In motels where the young people are running up and down the hallways in various stages of undress. Amen. And stripping off their clothes and going into the swimming pool in the middle of the night and all kinds of other things that go on. Amen. Praise the Lord, it's more than just shouting and dancing and doing the huckleback in here. You gotta have your heart right and your spirit right when you leave this place. There's a reason why these men preach against certain types of music. There's a reason why. There's a message in the music. While it's pumping the beats into your brain, it's also pumping a message. And it's eroding your convictions and your high standards until after a while you begin to lower yourself to the common denominator. We're not common. We are uncommon. We're not ordinary. We're extraordinary. We're not normal, we're above normal. And we are in this world, but we are not of this world. There's a reason why there's some literature you should not read. Amen. One church had a sudden outbreak of fornication and adultery. And when the pastor, who I know personally very well, got to digging around, he found out that a bunch of them, amen, were reading some real sleazy novels. And there was a whole bunch of them. When he gathered it all up, it amounted to a cardboard box full. And they were passing those around. And it depicted sexual scenes in graphic detail. And that's what they were reading. I'm talking about the young ladies. Can I tell you something? In several of the situations that I've had to deal with here recently, with marriages that are falling apart, it's the women that are going crazy. Fantasizing. Trying to recapture some little spark or whatever. You can destroy your potential for all time. Who wants to stand before the King? There's a reason why we don't get involved in organized parks. There's a reason why we don't give our churches over to Hollywood's influence. Amen. Their specialty is virtual reality, but it's a false reality. It's a false reality. We need to just anchor ourselves in this good old book and live our lives according to what pleases God. As I mentioned last night, Pentecost is making a huge mistake by trying to conform to this world and therefore win the world. We're not winning the world. The world is winning us. So our services are a little plain Jane and not quite as exciting as you might get down at the honky-tonk and at the beer hall or the Friday night dance. Give me this with its clean feeling. Amen. And superb aftermath any day of the week. Give me just a little more time, a few more minutes, and I'm going to be done. Why don't we give the Lord another hand clap of praise? Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's a reason why we take a stand against certain fashions and fads. And maybe we'll talk about that more later on this week. But there's a reason why. I said there's a reason why. had a young lady leave my church some years ago, and she said, "You preach it too straight and too strict, and nobody's going to live it, and you're going to end up with nothing but a bunch of old people and some young children, and you're not going to have any young people left." And I'm going to tell you, there's been some times when I wondered if she was telling the truth. But I feel like she was not telling the truth. I feel like there's some young ladies and some young men here that are going to take pride, not in a bad way, but in the fact that God has selected and chosen you. And somebody is going to live it. And somebody is going to pay the price. Can I hear a witness among the young ladies tonight? Praise God. I don't care what the other churches are doing. I might overstep my bounds here, but you know, if we're against wigs, what about all these hair extenders and all this other stuff that's going on in Pentecost today? Praise the Lord. Hair extensions. Young men with all these thin sideburns. You don't even see that in the world. You don't even see that in the world. Come on now. We're not like everybody. We're not trying to be like everybody. And I'm going to hurry here to a close, but I believe that not only are some going to live it, some are going to love it. And they're going to fall in love with this truth, and fall in love with this gospel, and fall in love with this message. I'm glad I'm a one God, apostolic, Jesus name, baptized, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, shouting and worshiping, child of God. I make no apologies, no excuses. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not embarrassed about it. I'm thankful for it. Remain standing, because I'm closing here in just a minute. But a few months ago, I had the opportunity to go to Rome. And I went with Brother and Sister Ray Brown, who are now the in-laws, father and mother-in-law of my son, Gabriel, and his wife, Sarah, and my wife and I all went. And on a Sunday, we went into St. Peter's Basilica. Before we went in there, by the way, we were there at noon for the papal blessing when Pope Benedict stepped to the window, amen, and began to bless the crowd. And there was about 20,000 or more people there in the square, and the atmosphere was electric. If you've noticed that I'm more anointed now than ever before, that's why. I was there. And then we went into the basilica, and some that are here have been there and they know what I'm talking about. It is not just impressive, it is intimidating. It was designed to put kings on their knees, and that's exactly the effect that it has. From the floor to the ceiling, 190 feet. In the cupola, 360 feet. You could stand a 30-story building in the middle of that rotunda. The most impressive works of art imaginable all around, including works by Michelangelo and some of the most notable artists that have ever lived. Gold and silver and platinum and precious stones and marble of all colors and tapestries. You walk around there and you feel mighty small. For some reason, all that could come to my mind was, I turned to my wife and I said, "And honey, we struggled just to remodel our church kitchen." Billions of dollars. Really, the value is inestimable because of the irreplaceable nature of much of what is in there. And my sweet daughter-in-law, she kind of brought me back to earth. She turned around and she said, "Yes, but they don't have the truth." And my son, Gabriel, said, "Look at me, Dad." And I turned around and looked at him and he said, "Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." He figured as long as we were in the place where supposedly the bones of Peter are buried, we might as well, amen, take a stand for the message that he preached. We're still one God apostolics. We still love this Acts 2:38 message. It's still holiness or hell. And when you step away from this, you're stepping down, my friend. As we are all standing here, I know this message is unusual and a little irregular. But I really do believe that unseen in this place are some heavenly emissaries walking around, looking this assembly over. There's a place in the Old Testament where an angel was instructed to take and mark the foreheads of all those that sighed and cried for the truth, for the precious things of God that many were letting go of, and the rest were put to the sword. I believe there are angels of God walking in this place with a holy, divine, heavenly edict and mission. Seek me out. Some special young men and young ladies that will pay the price, that will make the effort, that will put in the time, that will discipline and dedicate and consecrate themselves. Those that have ability to stand before the King. Are you that candidate? Would you like to volunteer? Would you like to tonight in this service make a pledge to God that will last the rest of your life? That says, even if my friends don't, and even if I become the laughingstock of everybody else, I want God to use me. I want to stand before the King. Here they come. Are you ready? You ready to pay that high price? Are you ready to pay that high price? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on now. This is not a formality. Something really special is happening right here. And dads, hear me a second. Just a moment, music. Moms and dads, pastors and preachers, I want you to know.